Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us this evening from the sixth and seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends in Christ, the author Ogden Nash once wrote, "I can resist anything except temptation." With one sentence, he pretty much summarized our human predicament. Today we're surrounded by the attitude that nothing is really that wrong, except people who claim that there is such a thing as right and wrong. We're immersed in a culture that mocks the concept of sin as laughably old-fashioned. And that's a real problem. If you've ever made soup, you know that when you immerse something in soup stock and turn up the heat, everything starts to take on the same flavor. The great danger to Christians is that we will take on the flavor of the world and stop taking sin and temptation seriously. So in his wisdom, Jesus offers you and me a corrective in his prayer. When you and I deliberately pray the words Jesus taught, there's no getting around the fact that temptation is real and something to be avoided as we pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As you consider this part of the Lord's Prayer tonight, may the Holy Spirit help you to trust fully in the deliverance that God provides from temptation and sin. You know, at first glance, this might seem to be the strangest part of the Lord's Prayer. Taken by itself, "lead us not into temptation" makes it sound like God might lead us into temptation, so we better pray for him not to. But that's an artificial division. The entire thought is, "lead us not, but deliver us." Hebrew poetry does that a lot. It expresses one idea in two ways. For example, in the psalm we spoke together tonight, it said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." One idea expressed in two ways. And the Lord's Prayer here is much the same thing, except it's a negative, then a positive. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Two ways of saying one idea. We need to be delivered. Two ways of saying we need help because we cannot do this by ourselves. Now still, we see bad things happen to people we love, and we have legitimate questions about that. When you inspect the Bible for some kind of answer, here's what you come up with. God does not tempt anyone to sin. He's perfectly holy. So it doesn't square that he would push anyone in the direction of evil, but the Bible very clearly tells you that he does test those whom he loves. A couple examples. Think of Abraham. God told him to offer his only son Isaac, the child of the promise, as a burnt offering. Think of Job. God allowed every great blessing that he had been given to be ripped away from him. Or you can think of Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed for that thorn to be removed. But whatever that thorn was, Paul eventually realized it was helping him to trust in God's comment, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God knows exactly where we need to be in order to trust him fully. The thought of suffering is intolerable to most people, yet it is precisely in suffering that we learn how all life is supposed to work. In suffering, we start banging on God's door a lot. We start leaning into his strength more and more. And that's where we should have begun in the first place. In suffering, our pride and our self-reliance are stripped away, and we are humbled. And right there in our desperation, we meet a God who did not come to eliminate all suffering yet, but to enter it himself. He has delivered you from evil by confronting it, by walking right into it. At the cross of Jesus, we see a love so profound that it transforms suffering. It changes its very nature. What I mean is, at the cross of Jesus, we see something that utterly changes our outlook. Without the cross, what does suffering do? It drives a person away from God. But with the cross of Jesus clearly in sight, suffering can actually propel us to God and cause us to depend on him more than we ever did. It can create a faith so full that it accepts all of God's decisions as good decisions. One summer, an author was vacationing on Lake Michigan, and he decided to take his sailboat out into the bay. And he enjoyed that sensation of quietly skimming across the surface of the water, and he had gone quite a ways out. And suddenly the breeze that had taken him out here quit. And his boat came to a complete and total stop, and he was stranded out there. The direct rays of the sun started to beat down on him. Not a breath of air stirred his sail. And naturally, as a believer, he began to pray. And what he began to pray for was, "Lord, send another breeze and fast." That was his prayer on and off for more than an hour. "Send that breeze, Lord." But no breeze came. But something else did. He saw a speck that started to grow, and as it approached him, he realized it was a fishing boat. And an old fisherman had watched this whole thing happen, had seen the predicament that the author had gotten himself into, and came out to tow him back to shore. And it was then, the writer said, that he learned this lesson. His need had been for deliverance. And God had provided that need, even though it wasn't exactly what he had asked for. Deliverance always comes from outside ourselves. Think of it, the history of God relating to his creation, and especially relating to his people, is a history of God taking the first step, of God initiating the contact, of God doing the hard work in order to restore the relationship. And the climax of that work, of course, was Jesus' incredibly difficult work of going to the cross and dying for people who didn't ask him to do that, or especially even care. He took the first step. He provided the deliverance. He sends the boat out to get you. Deliverance has arrived in Christ. So hitch your line to Jesus. Believe that he took the whip and the scourge and the nails and the terrible suffering for you, and he will bring you to safe harbor. The Apostle Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. While we're hitching our line to things, hitch your line to that promise as well. He will provide a way out when you're under temptation. And the way to find that way out is through prayer. If there is one great temptation-fighting weapon that we Christians have been given, that's it. Prayer. And what better way to put Satan on his heels than with a prayer written by the Son of God himself? And do you remember what Jesus did when the devil tempted him personally? Simply put, he responded with Bible verses. He turned to something outside himself, not that he needed to, but to show us that God's word has the power to help us say no when temptation comes. The Lord's Prayer is the Word of God. They are Jesus' own words. It's a prayer that most of us here know by heart, which means its power is always available to you. It's a spiritual treasure. May you pray Jesus' words with awareness and great confidence and joy. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son has taught us to pray for deliverance, a deliverance that we know that you have provided in the greatest way possible through Jesus' sacrificial death and his triumphant resurrection. You've delivered us literally out of hell and into heaven. As we continue our journey through life, there are great and many challenges that we face. Through it all, our faith is tested and proved. We are refined. We have the opportunity to be strengthened through these challenges. And yet, in the bottom of our hearts, we know we do not have the strength to do this ourselves. And in your mercy and love for your children, you tell us we do not have to have the strength to do it ourselves. You will carry us. You will support us. You will use your power to deliver us. So we place our hand in yours through faith and pray, lead us and guide us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.